Hello there, and welcome to Odessa First Assembly's weekly podcast, where we bring you the heart of our Sunday message. I'm Tony, your host and the face behind our digital ministry. We're excited to dive into today's sermon, exploring the Word of God together. So grab your coffee, find a comfy spot, and let's embark on this journey of faith. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
Neighbor storm shelter, they had a mile-wide tornado go over their town. They get a lot of tornadoes around the Knox City area, and it's just so common. And but pray for them. I'm not sure of what damage there's been, but even going it kind of went up and over the town and went back down, and there was still a lot of damage in town. So we want to pray for them in that area. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of. We're going to turn to three passages, and it's been a long time since I've kind of done things this way. Three passages. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 8, Ephesians chapter 5. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'll repeat those in a second. You can follow online on the YouVersion app, the Bible app, the notes are there, or if you got the notes when you came in, and with the notebook, but Romans chapter 8, Ephesians chapter 5, and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you might, you know, that's where you make use of your Bible Dumaflachi thing. You know, some of you may have multiple of those. You can do a lot of verses. Romans 8, Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 6. I just want to remind you and really emphasize, come and be a part of our first Wednesday. It's always a wonderful time. We get together. We have a family meal in the fellowship hall, and we come in here for a worship service, just all together, and look at the Word of God, and we've just seen God do some great things. So this Wednesday is May 1st is our first Wednesday. So keep that in mind. Romans 8, Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 16, we're starting a series, The Spirit Within. And if I were to give this morning's message a specific title, it would be God's Whisper. But let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, your work, Lord, through worship, your work in stirring in our hearts. We pray just for your refreshing. We pray that our hearts be good soil, ready to receive your word. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. So Romans chapter 8, going to begin in verse 9. Romans 8, well, actually just verse 9. Romans 8, 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And here's the important clause that I want to look at in this verse. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who's not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But what we're focusing in on is we're seeing a passage here about the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Now look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5, 18. And through this message, I'm going to kind of bounce between the ESV and the NLT, English Standard Version and New Living Translation. But Ephesians 5, 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for it is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's the focus that we see another verse, a partnership here, be filled with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? I mean, I guess in our vernacular today, we would say that your body is a church for the Holy Spirit, or a house for the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. Powerful passages. And we're going to talk about this different aspects about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. And and actually this message probably would actually fit better in like a part two or three or even four of a sermon series about the work of the Holy Spirit. But I really felt impressed that this was a Sunday to share this message. And I want you to know this morning is that if you are a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. And I know I feel like I do preach often on this, and I preach often about Pentecost and the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to do it again the next few weeks and the next month. But just a few things I want to remind you of. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity. He is God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not an afterthought. I mean, when you look through Scripture, it's like not some, he's not some random thing that we see happen in Acts chapter 2. You can go all the way back to Genesis 1 and see the Holy Spirit first mentioned. And you'll look through all the Old Testament and about the Holy Spirit. I mean, read through Judges or Ezekiel and you'll see prophetic things about the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we see it. We see him all in the beginning. He's been involved in the beginning. The Holy Spirit was not a plan B or plan C. I mean, he has been eternity past and is eternal because he's God, the Holy Spirit. He has many functions, jobs, missions, and the New Testament really opens that up for us. See, and what my focus today is going to be just his voice on the inside of us, his witness inside of our hearts, that still small voice that simply what I'm going to call this morning, that whisper within. And I know that some translations, right, some translations say ghost, some say, you know, spirit. The Holy Spirit is not some poltergeist, you know, it's not some, you know, cosmic entity. I mean, we're talking about God, the Holy Spirit, and the New Testament tells us that he is a gift. He is a helper. He's an advocate. He's a comforter. He's a guide. And we're going to look at many of these things. But the first thing I want to look at, the Holy Spirit, remember I use those three verses, those three passages very simply to say and remind us that the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. And so the first thing I want you to know is the Holy Spirit draws you to the Father. The Holy Spirit draws us to the Father. In John chapter 6, verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up on the last day. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and we can't even come to Jesus unless it is the Spirit that draws us. John 6:65, Jesus said again, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father. And so listen to me. Well, I mean, what we can gather and pull out correctly from what these passages tell us is that no human being in the world on his own can come to God. He or she must first be drawn by the Holy Spirit to even have ability to come to Jesus. The Father draws us by the Holy Spirit to Jesus. It is a work of the Spirit. And I know I've talked many times just about that moment of I feel like growing up, you know, I probably had the world record of salvations. You know, has anybody ever felt that way? I mean, you know, our ACMR report for our church, we have to fill these out. Great numbers in a little small town of Big Lake. And it was all me. But that moment when I really encountered the Lord, it was a February 9th of 1994. And I know I've talked about this, but I want to draw just a different aspect to kind of launch us into that. And I was sitting in my car. I was waiting for a friend at his apartment, and we were going to go do and be good at being sinners. And I was sitting in my car, and I was completely blindsided because this sensation came over me and started working on the inside of me, and something began. I mean, it was just like out of the. To me, it was out of the blue. It was the furthest thing from my mind, and something began to shift on the inside of me. Something began to break on the inside of me, and I heard a whisper, and that whisper in my heart said three simple words: go to church. And I'm trying to process where that whisper's coming from. I'm thinking, you know, I fought against it. I tried to ignore that voice. I tried to reason out of that voice. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, am I losing my mind? Am I going crazy? And I heard this whisper inside of me, go to church. And I started to break. I started to cry. There were tears. And that voice was just so repetitive. Go to church. Go to church. And it was almost as if it was a command, but also an invitation. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what it sensed. That's what it felt like. It was almost as if it was a command and an invitation at the same time. And so I backed up my car and I went to the only church that I knew, which was Midland First Assembly. And I'm on the very west side of Midland on Wadley in the Loop. And I had to drive all the way, the west side. I had to drive all the way to the east side to where Midland First was, all the way down Wadley. And so I'm driving down, I'm crying, and which I never did. I never, never did. That is not who I was at all. I was very hard, and I'm driving down. I don't know what I'm gonna do. All I know is I'm listening with this whisper on the inside of me is, go to church. And so I drive in, I park in the parking lot, and I'm crying tears, and I honestly don't remember what was happening in the church. I wasn't even driving there expecting to get right with God. That was like the furthest from my mind. I just knew something was drawing me and speaking to me. And so I drive in that parking lot, I walk in the church, I came in the back doors. I can't tell you, I have no idea at what point of the service that it was. I don't know if it was, if they were singing. I don't know if our pastor was preaching. I don't know if it was I have no idea. I just walked right in, and it's like I knew what to do without knowing I knew what to do. And I walked down this aisle in that church and came and knelt down in the pews on the right side as I came in. And I was reminded of something. I was reminded of a time when I was 13 years old, the only time that I went to youth camp. At 13 years old, where I had an encounter with the Lord, and I felt the Lord speak to me at that moment at youth camp when I was 13, that God was calling the ministry. I had no understanding of that. I don't want to admit, all I knew was is I didn't want to do it. And that's where I decided to walk away when I left that youth camp. And so for all those teenage years, and almost 20 years old, I was running from God. But when I got there and I knelt down, not knowing and oblivious to what was happening around me, I knew exactly what I had to do. With not knowing, I knew exactly what to do. And I knelt down and I said, Lord, I'll do it. And I mean, when I said that, it was like I was covered in mud, and it was just all sprayed off of me. It was like I'd been carrying 10 tons of weight that I didn't realize I was carrying. And immediately it came off my shoulders and was shed from me. And all I did was listen to that whisper. And the Bible tells us in Romans 12, 11, 29, that the gifts and the, I didn't even know this. I had no idea this scripture was in the Bible. I had never read it to my knowledge. I may have heard some guy preach about it, but to my knowledge, I'd never read it. I'd never heard it. But when I knelt down and I heard the Lord speak to him, I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. His next words to me, he says, my call is without repentance. Had no idea that verse was in the Bible that I could remember, honestly remember. But the Bible tells us, Romans 11, 29, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They can never be withdrawn. And in that moment, I had an encounter with the Lord that I will never forget that shifted my eternity and it shifted my life. When the Holy Spirit draws us, listen to me, He's drawing, that drawing will force us to make a decision. You see, everybody responds to the Holy Spirit in some way. Everybody responds to the Holy Spirit in some way. Some respond by going to the bathroom randomly during the sermon. I'm gonna go there a little bit. Some respond by clipping their fingernails in the chair. Some people respond by deflecting. Some people respond by ignoring. Some people respond by to get too busy to try to ignore that whisper. Some respond by getting worse or making worse decisions. Some respond by surrendering. Some respond by, I hear your whisper, Lord. I hear you speaking to me. And I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that God ever gives up on us. Ever. I don't. I do not believe that God ever gives up on us yet. But what I have come to understand, there are seasons of his working and his drawing. And when he's working in that moment, we need to obey. We need to heed that whisper. The Bible tells in Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and then righteous men his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And it's not, the Holy Spirit, we have to respond in some way. Whenever we're faced with that decision, you know, the prayer we pray every week about our hearts being good soil, it's one of the reasons I pray that. I don't believe that's like a one-shot time. I think that's a continual process. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is continually drawing us to the direction that we should go. Yes, he does this work in us that draws us to Father at the point of salvation, but that is something that never stops. And the way you become sensitive to the whisper on the inside of you is to heed and to obey. But the more we work against it and push against that voice and push against that whisper will get more faint and more faint. Why? Because the Bible says that the deceitfulness of sin hardens our hearts. And so the Holy Spirit continually is drawing us. The Bible tells us, John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide. One of his missions, the reason he's been given to us is to lead us and to guide us into all truth. It says he will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he's heard and he'll tell you about the future. The drawing and the working of the Holy Spirit is not something that works, that stops at salvation. The whisper within does not cease at some point in time of a maturity process. That whisper is constant and continual. Are you okay this morning? And so we must heed and listen to what the Holy Spirit is directing us. And I'm going to tell you, I believe as we become more in tune and more sensitive, it doesn't mean, listen, I know there, you know, I didn't open my mouth. You know, I know that there's some Christians out there that are a little more eccentric than most. I think I said that really good. Listen, I'm not asking anybody to act fruity or weird. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit will whisper inside of you and speak to you. And he will lead you and guide you. And sometimes it's the simple things. Don't say that. Don't go there. Break off that relationship. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. He's always leading. We never resist. Don't wait. Always allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. And as you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and you follow the Holy Spirit, it gets easier to follow the Holy Spirit. Always allow the Holy Spirit to be the wind in your sails that give you the direction of to go. Always. The Bible also says, Ephesians 4:30, do not bring sorrow to God's heart. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How? By the way that you live. And if you look in the, where that's in the middle of, you see things like to be a thief no longer, to that, you know, if you've been a thief, it's time to labor. If it's time to have honest work with your hands, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you. And so he's saying in this context, as we see, do not bring sorrow to God's heart by the way that you live, but listen, and the Holy Spirit will shape you. I would drive, when I was a youth pastor years ago, I don't know if I've said this before several times here, but when I was a youth pastor, and you get posed with some difficult questions about, you know, many things, whether it might be entertainment or dating or all these types of things, and I'd always tell my students, go pray in the Spirit for an hour, then come back and we'll have a conversation. Because what I found is in that moment, when we just heed and listen to the Lord, He will guide us. He will guide us. The scriptures also tells us that the Holy Spirit convicts. And we don't like that word in today's culture. The Holy Spirit convicts, John chapter 16. And when He comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of its sin and God's righteousness and the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. This is Jesus talking. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you'll see me no more. Verse 11, judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit shows people their sin in order to bring them to a place of repentance so that they can come to the Lord. And we really get confused, I think, of what condemnation is and what conviction is. But if you look at the Greek word of conviction, the Greek word is elanko. It's elan. Everybody say elanko. Now you know a Greek word. You're smart and all that. So I had to go to YouTube to know how to pronounce that. But what it means is to expose, to refute, to convince. And I put that in your notes, to expose, to refute, and to convince. Because what the Holy Spirit does is when we are lost, it is part of the Holy Spirit's job to expose our sinfulness to us and convince us the only right way is to come to the Lord. I mean, so that's what conviction is. It is to bring us, it is the Spirit's work in our life to convince us where we are in life and where we need to be. And the Holy Spirit will expose our need of a Savior because of sin. Listen, I know some of these things I've said so many times, but I just want to tell you again that if you consider yourself to be a believer, I think scripturally, one of the things we have to realize is what we are being saved from. And what we're being saved from, you're not necessarily being saved from hell. What you're being saved from is the chasm that separates you from the Father. Conviction will make it clear the results if we reject Christ, if we persist in sin. The difference between condemnation is conviction. And this is where I think where we get confused, is what condemnation does, it exposes where we are with the no hope of change. But what conviction does tells you there is hope for a new life. That's the difference. Condemnation tells you how bad you are with no hope, no method of changing, but conviction tells you that through the Holy Spirit, everything can change. Condemnation is the enemy trying to make you feel guilty, and conviction is the Holy Spirit reminding you that through Jesus, you are righteous. Condemnation pushes you to places of desperation, but conviction pushes you to repentance that you can experience the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And it all happens through the whisper of the Holy Spirit within you. The Holy Spirit, He convinces our spirits that we need Jesus. And He'll show us the only right way to God. When we are walking in surrender and in right relationship with the Holy Spirit, what we understand is a promise we find in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness within our spirit that we are what? That we are children of God. I'm going to tell you, when you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit and your walk, you're keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, even when you fall short, the whisper of God in your heart will still be, you are mine. I mean, do you understand why the enemy wants to deafen you to the Lord's whisper? The enemy says you've fallen short and there's nothing that can be done for you. But the Spirit says you've fallen short, but Jesus makes up the difference. The enemy says you are the sum of your mistakes. But the enemy says, the Spirit says, I see your mistakes and I also see your potential. The enemy says that God can never use you, but the Spirit says, I'm gonna turn your mistake into a ministry. The enemy says you are worthless, but God says you're his masterpiece. The enemy says you are worthless, but the Spirit says you're worth it all. The Spirit convinces people of the enemy's defeat. If you are walking in a season or period of time in your life, I'm going to tell you, it gets easy sometimes to think that the enemy is winning. But the whisper of the Spirit of God within you will tell you that the enemy is a defeated foe. That's what it says, that he's going to convict according to the judgment. The Spirit makes people aware that God has already pronounced the judgment of the enemy. I'm going to tell you a third thing this morning, is that the Holy Spirit renews. The Holy Spirit renews. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, if the worship team would be prepared to come up here, please. The Holy Spirit renews in Titus 3, 5. It says, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. I want to read that verse again. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness. See, the Bible tells us that our righteousness is what? It's filthy. There is nothing that we can do. There is nothing in our own power, our own strength, our own actions that we can do that brings us to a place of righteousness. The only thing that we can do is receive the gift that has been given to us through salvation in Jesus. By the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, in 1994, that February night, that's exactly the encounter I had with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, I've had that renewal so many times in my life. I always forget to who give proper credit to. I think that it was Charles Spurgeon. But there's a quote by Charles Spurgeon that says, people ask me why I ask to be filled every day in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. And he simply says, I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me every day because I leak. I mean, when you go through life and you go through valleys and trials and temptations and difficulties, it can be exhausting sometimes. But what we need is renewal. The Bible says, repent and times of refreshing will come from the Lord. That's what the scripture tells us. Repent and times of refreshing will come from the Lord. There'll be a remaking in us, a remodeling in us. And so, to experience the renewal of the Holy Spirit, the first thing we do is we repent. And that's for, you know, repentance is not something, and I know that's like a strong word in our culture today. We don't like that word. I want to hear that word. But repentance is just not for the sinner, right? Repentance is just not for that moment when we get saved. You know, we repent of all that old junk and stuff in our life, and we have to come to that place, but it's just not for that moment. Walking out repentance is something we have to do daily. But it's that constant state. Isn't this, it's not like, you know, we walk around, you know, and like in, you know, the Old Testament days, and we're covering ourselves in ashes and we're tearing our clothes and, you know, walk now with this downcast demeanor. It's an attitude of the heart to walk with the Lord to say, I'm going to stay tender before you, Lord, because I know that I cannot perceive and understand or even correctly hear that whisper when I'm allowing stuff to harden my heart. So what I need to do is to walk broken before the Lord with a broken and contrite spirit. And as I walk that way of the ground of my heart always being tilled up and ready, is I'm always ready to hear that whisper. I'm always ready to hear the whisper. I'm always ready to hear the voice of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something else. Another step to experience the renewal of the Holy Spirit is to really, we need to renounce the stuff that has kept us bound. You know, I think one of the greatest compliments that I've ever been paid was by Angela. Because we grew up a little bit different. She got saved, you know, she was delivered as a baby and got saved. Oh, she was six. Okay. No. I know we laugh, but there is no greater testimony than for someone to get saved in an early age and to walk it. And to walk it all their life. I know there may be men in the room like me, and we're thankful and we're grateful just to, you know, just to get here, right? And I've never been shy about my testimony, but I'm gonna tell you, mine pales in comparison to somebody who's remained faithful. But I remember that moment, you know, we were on this walk. I'll never forget it. We were taking a walk through a neighborhood in El Paso, Texas. That's where Angela lived at the time. I was youth pastoring here. And I knew this thing, I mean, you know, got serious really quick. And I knew that Angela most likely was the one. But I knew that it was going to be based on my life before Jesus. And I knew that even though that I love the Lord and serve the Lord with all of my heart, that there might be consequences to what was in the past. Listen to me. And so I told her, I didn't hide anything from her. I said, I will tell you as much detail as you want to know. I was like, I'll start off with the cliff notes. You just need to know some details. And as I began to, I just remember just being full of fear. I'm thinking, this is the moment she could say, you know what? I'm just not going to do that. Just, you know, we need to call it quits. Right? I was fully prepared to hear that. And so we talked, and she said something. She says, you know what? She said, you know what's different with you than so many that I knew that came to Southwestern? Is that so many people came to college and felt called to ministry, but when they talked about their past, they talked about it like they missed it and had affection for it. And she said, I've never felt that from you. I'm gonna tell you, if you want change in your life, then renounce what's held on to you. If you really want the chains broken, then renounce the change. The chains. I mean, if you really want to get the anger, then renounce the anger. If you really want to get away from being a gossip, then renounce the gossip. If you really want the Holy Spirit to bring change into your life, then renounce that old man and that old junk that's kept you chained. And you know what's going to happen? The Spirit of the Lord's going to come in and He's going to make you new. He's going to make you new. And so we repent, we renounce, and we resolve. We resolve. You see, that night in February when I prayed that prayer and I got up, the conversation I had with the Lord went something like this. Lord, I know I've been in this position 1,000 times. And that's probably not an exaggeration. Because, you know, I was in church. I grew up in church. And so, man, I mean, back then, you know, I mean, they preached hell hot, man. That's the last thing I wanted to happen. You bet I got right every Sunday. But there was something different. I stood up in that moment and I said, God, I said, I've never been in this position so many times. I said, but I'm resolving to you, Lord, this time is different. And Lord, I may mess up, but I'm never going to stay down. I may make mistakes, but I'm not going to keep walking in them. I may battle some pull back to that old life, but Lord, I resolve that I'm never going to go back. When you resolve in your heart that nothing is going to keep you from the presence of the Lord's going to fill you. The Lord's going to work in you. The Lord's going to stir in you. The Lord's going to renew you. And I would dare say that maybe there's some mature, older saints in the room, and you need a little bit of breaking in your spirit. You need a little breaking in your spirit. It's just not for those that are coming out of the drugs and the pornography and the mess. It's for all of us in the room. And maybe your relationship with the Lord has become stagnant. Maybe your heart's gotten a little hard. I want to tell you, today is a day for a brand new life for you to experience the renewal and the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you to stand this morning, if you would.
Thanks for joining us on this week's podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for more inspirational messages. Connect with us on social media at Odessa First AG. And if you'd like to support our ministry, visit odessafirstassembly.com/giving. Until next time, stay blessed.